Sunday. And we're going to get a little philosophical this morning on Step Up Sunday that we have named Step Up Sunday in our leadership meeting. Because I want you to think about this. Would you agree that essentially we are the sum total of the decisions we make? Like we as people, we have come together, we're kind of the sum total of the decisions we make. So today we are a result of the choices that we've made in the past, right? And when you think about it, the decisions that you and I make today are really going to impact what we become or who we are in the future. Choices impact our lives. And not one of us is really surprised by this. This is pretty, we get it. So now we're going to do an audience participation, okay, because it is Step Up Sunday. I want you to stand up. I won't make you stand for long. Stand up if you were not born in the Chicagoland area. Okay, all right, so look at this. I'm standing too. All right, so you are here, keep standing. You are here today because you made a choice to move to Chicago, and that choice has impacted your life. Would you agree? You have met different people. Maybe you married someone from Chicago. Maybe you're raising your kids here. Maybe something fantastic. You live here, became a Chicago fan of some sort. Your life choice to move here has changed your life. And it's changed us because we wouldn't know you. Or I guess me, I'm from Buffalo. We wouldn't know these people. Go ahead and have a seat. Good job. All right. Stand up if you grew up in a home where your guardian or your mom or your dad, your grandparents taught you about Jesus. Now for this one, I would not be standing. But the choices of your parents teaching you about Jesus, teaching you about a relationship about Jesus, has changed your life. Go ahead, have a seat. Stand up this morning if you did not eat breakfast. When the hot dogs are put out today, ouch, it's going to change how fast you get out in the line. I myself have 3 eggs and 2 pieces of toast, so I'm all set. But that's going to change how the impact and the choices you make to get out fast. All right, have a seat. Our choices impact what happens to us, what we do, what we become, what we do in the future. And today at our Step Up Sunday service, we're talking about choices. Because I would say that many of us honestly say that sometimes we wish that there was more time to do the things that are really important to us. I mean, would you agree? You wish you had more time to do the things that are really important to you. And some might say, I wish I had more time to rest. I wish I had more time to read. I wish I had more time to spend time with my friends or my family. I wish I had more time to vacation or to garden or to fish or to exercise. And you and I, like most people, we say, I wish I had more time to insert whatever you're thinking right now. But instead you say, but I gotta mow the lawn. But I gotta clean the house. I gotta finish this project. I gotta call into work. I gotta pay the bills. I gotta carpool. I gotta get my homework done. I gotta keep up with the Kardashians. I have so many things I have to do that I can't really do what I think is important. And nowadays, if you notice, we used to ask people, how are you doing? Fine. I'm doing good. Nowadays, the answer is different. How you doing? I'm so
tired.
Really? Busy. Wasn't going with that. Thank you. Yeah. Sermon's bad now. I'm so busy. But I'm tired from being so busy. Oh, boy. I thought that was a no-brainer. Thank you, Laura. All right. So we ask people, how are you doing? Busy or tired? How have you been? Busy? How's work? Busy? How's the family? We're busy. It never seems to be, how you doing? Bored? Well, if you call my dad every day, that's the answer you're going to get from my dad. How you doing? Bored? But we don't get that. You know, how's the family? We're just relaxing. You know, what have you been up to? I'm over-rested. You know? What's your family doing? We're not doing much, right? And this is a phrase, I'm busy. It's almost become like a non-negotiable. It's like an absolute. Like, we are so busy and we believe that life will always be that way. We'll be so busy that we will never, ever have time to do the things that are important to us. We have bought into this. We have said that this is so true. There's nothing that can change. But here is the reality, and this is so true. We have time for what we choose to have time for. It sounds revolutionary, but it's true. We have time for what we choose to have time for, right? So all of a sudden, you just got a phone call that says,
you have to get to our office located downtown or wherever in 60 minutes because you have won $1 million. You have 60 minutes to get there. If you are not there in 60 minutes, it goes to the next person. Well, I bet we would be pulling out of the carpool line, see a kid's get a ride home. You know? We would, it wouldn't matter if Walking Dead had their season finale. We would be in the car and gone. We would skip the game. We would do everything, get out of practice, whatever it is, to get there in the 60 minutes. Also, we have all the time in the world. We will get there. We will make the time. We have time for what we choose to have time for. But because of our busyness, you know, our choices, our busyness, everything in life feels so urgent, right? Everything feels urgent. I have to get to the grocery store or we will not eat. I have to get a workout in or I will not look good in that outfit. I have to spend time with my friend before they leave for school. I have to stay up to date on social media or I will feel out of the loop. I have to watch the game live because I don't want anyone to spoil it for me. I have to take my child to swim lessons because good parents do that. I have to make every practice or the coach will think I'm lazy. We have filled our lives with so much urgency that we have missed what is important, right? Because there really is a difference between urgent and importance. There really is. For example, if you're driving this car, right? And all of a sudden, your engine seizes up. That's half of me with a briefcase looking very concerned. So, all right, my engine has overdone something here, okay? Ran out of oil. All of a sudden, it has become urgent. I got to get the car towed. I got to get it towed to a shop. I got to have the car fixed. Or I need a new car because I cannot live without a car because everything I do, I drive to. And all of a sudden, this situation has become urgent. Well, the thing that I didn't tell you is, for the past 3 years, I haven't checked my oil. I haven't added any oil. I haven't done anything in the oil business that was important. So now, all of a sudden, what is urgent is because I didn't take care of what was important. You see the difference? Here's another example. Something came up and I really need this big bag of money for it, all right? Maybe it's $5, maybe it's $100, maybe it's $1,000, I don't know. Something came up, you need money. Maybe school fees you didn't realize that you were going to have to pay when they get to high school, or your rent went up, or there was a medical surprise, I don't know. But all of a sudden, needing this money is urgent. But what might have been missed was the importance of budgeting and saving and planning. So when the urgent need arose, it wasn't so urgent because you've done the important work. And that's a lot what we do in our financial classes here at the Northside, is we get you ready to do the important stuff so when the emergency comes, it's not an emergency anymore, it's just, I gotta take out of my savings, right? There's a marketing leader named Seth Godin who says this, if you choose what is important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent. So Step Up Sunday, what it's about is choosing and doing what is important, because none of us likes living in urgency. It feels horrible. So this morning, we're going to talk about stepping up to make choices regarding what is important. We're refocusing, right? So let's look at a situation in the Bible. Luke 10. This is Jesus. And this story is actually told right after he tells the story, well, it's placed in Scripture, right after he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which we went over 2 weeks ago about mercy. So give you a little taste of Scripture. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." So Jesus comes to Martha's house. He is invited there. Now most of us, if you entertain at all, we have two types of people that come to our house. We have people who are always there. All right, these are people that you're not surprised when they knock on your door. Maybe they have a key to your house. Maybe they don't even knock anymore. They just show up, right? And you know them very, very well. And when they come over, you're not too concerned of what the house looks like. You may check the bathroom and make sure it's not gross, but you're not too concerned, right? That there might even be dirty clothes, or it's dusty, or the windows are smeared. You don't really care. You don't care how you look. Doesn't really matter to you that you have makeup on, or your hair is combed, or you don't smell, right? You're not so consumed that the kids are best behavior. You're not so consumed with food or what drink you have. They're just people that you always have into your house. You're very, very comfortable. Then, there's those who are new to us, right? You really don't know them. Maybe it's a first-time guest. Maybe it's someone you're trying to impress. Maybe it's your son's girlfriend's parents or your mother who lives out of town who always looks at your baseboards to make sure that they're clean, right? And when you get ready for these guests, you do it a whole different way. You like dust. And you vacuum, and you Windex the windows, and you light a candle to get the scent out of your house, and you clean grout, and you organize cabinets for just in case they open them up, and you get rid of the visible ant and mouse traps. We do that at the Mercers. And then you might have fresh flowers on the table, because we always have fresh flowers on the table, right? And you don't forget the china that's never been used. You put away the microwavable Christmas plates that you use for every meal, and you put out the china. So Jesus comes to Martha's house, and you could see what kind of guest he would be, right? Because at this point in time, Jesus has been on earth for, you know, like 32 years. He is well known, and he's done a lot of teaching, and he has claimed to be the Messiah, God, and he's done tons of miracles, and people have seen them and heard them, and word has traveled, and now he's either famous, if you believe he's the Messiah, or he's infamous, you think he's crazy, but no matter what it is, he's a big shot right now in the community. So he's coming to Martha's house, and Martha recognizes him to be the Savior. God is coming to your house. How do you get your house ready for God, right? Think about it. There were no phones or texts or emails to say, I'm going to be there in 2 days, 1 day. There were no Evites, right? There wasn't official mail even giving them a heads up to it. He comes to town and Martha invites him over. So there, in fact, seems to be somewhat of a urgency. Right? The Messiah and all of his traveling companions are coming to your house. I mean, the urgency of getting your dirty underwear off the floor is potent, right? It is like, this has to be clean. I mean, it's not like they can throw something in the microwave when you come to my house or get it hot and ready. You gotta like kill an animal or something, right? Have we killed the lamb? Someone go fishing, you know, get some fish, or let's get the candles and the prayer shawls out so he knows we're serious about him. I mean, there is urgency here. And Martha reacts to the urgency. Now our sister Mary, she sits at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. So she comes to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Martha is distracted by the urgency of what needs to be done. Dinner for 15, 20 people. It's the house clean. They got to have their feet washed. I mean, that was a tradition, right? Is there wood for the fire? Is there enough seats, right? And she is on busyness overload. And you know she is getting more and more ticked at Mary, who's just sitting there, right? She's not feeling urgency. And the way that Scripture lays it out, it almost looks like it all happened kind of once. Okay, Martha's busy getting ready, things ready, and Mary's sitting there. But you know, before Martha went to Jesus, she was stewing, right? She did a few walk-bys. You know, stirring her stuff, walking by. She probably did it through, Mary, right? She probably got very passive-aggressive. Oh, what's that, Luke? Luke, you want me to come sit down and chat with you? I can't. Because I'm too busy getting everything ready, you know? She probably was very ticked. And Martha was distracted by the urgency that she felt and everything she needed to be done, that she missed what was important. Now, you may say, because I went through this too. They need to eat, right? That's what they're there for. You may say, it's good to be a good hostess. That's important. You may say, it's not nice to have a dirty house for the Lord, right? don't challenge it.
Because it's Jesus in his scripture, God's word, who's laying it out there. So if you want to have an excuse and be like, well, this needs to happen, this needs to happen. No, God's telling us right now that's not important. But we have this perspective because we've read a lot of good housekeeping magazines and we've seen a lot of shows about entertaining and what to do that I think we've mixed up in our mind. This is so important and people are not as important as that. And I understand being a good host. I really do. But Jesus is saying Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. This is very clear. This is God's word saying it, not me. But my question to you is, have you ever been distracted from what is important? Like maybe it's a friend or a family member or even a stranger needs a kind word from you or an ear for them just to speak to you. But do you have to finish your to-do list that you made? Because when you finish your to-do list, you feel really good about yourself. So you can't stop to do maybe what's important. Or if your church asks you to volunteer a couple hours a month, but then like cut off from football time, you think, I don't think I'll wait to after the season is over. So what is important gets put on a shelf because this is something that you've been distracted by. Or your kids ask you to play, but you really like to fold the laundry right when it comes out of the dryer, even though your kids have asked you to play at that time, and you might not ask you to play a year from now because they're too old. Have you ever been distracted by what's important? We can become distracted by taking care of our kids, but forgetting the importance of enjoying our kids. We can become distracted by the busyness of life that we've let our church attendance decline or our Bible reading and prayer time take a hiatus. We can be so distracted by the new episodes just released on Netflix that we haven't taken care of the importance of taking care of our physical bodies. We can be so busy taking care of our friends or maintaining our social status that we've neglected our marriages, right? Martha, she's doing a good thing, but she was distracted by what was important. She was distracted. She was so distracted that she interrupts Mary, who's having time with God. Jesus, the Messiah. She interrupts Mary to tattletale. Andy, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Jesus, do you see what's happening here? I am the only one doing anything. I have the weight in the success of this party on my shoulders. I wish I didn't care. I wish I could kick back and hear about you how you fed 5,000. You know, I wish I could kick back and hear you recite the Beatitudes again. I wish I could kick back and do that. But the urgency and the stress is I can't. I have to do this. And that's like us. I got to get to the grocery store. I got to cut the lawn. I got to call my mother. I got to get my hair done. I got to read my children 30 minutes a night or I'll be a bad parent. But Jesus sees what's going on. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. Martha, you're worried. I see it. I'm recognizing this emotion you're feeling right now. You're overwhelmed. You're probably a little obsessed, right? You're anxious. How many of us can relate to that? I so can. You are freaked out about a whole lot of stuff, right? You are worrying about the urgent, and you don't even have time to see what you're missing. It's right in front of you. Then Jesus says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. Mary's choice, Martha, is better. It's better. You know, Mary chose what was important over the urgent. And this is the guy talking who wants to eat, right? Wants to have his feet washed. Wants to probably sit in a somewhat clean house. This is him talking. Mary chose what's important over the urgent. Each of us, we got choices, right? And we make time for what we choose to make time for. And Jesus is clear, he's important. He is. And I know what you're thinking, because I went through this too when I was prepping.
back in Bible time, what else did they have time to do? You know, like they didn't have sports and they didn't have ACTs and they didn't have college applications and their cars weren't breaking down and they didn't have all those choices on cable TV, right? They had more time. It sounds that way, but not really. They didn't have laundromats. They have dishwashers. They didn't have microwave ovens. They didn't have fast food. They didn't have all the things that make our life so much faster, like email and cell phones, right? All their food was cooked from scratch. They had to kill things and they had to barter for things in the marketplace, right? They had week-long religious holidays and traditions they had to be a part of and prepare for. They had children to raise. They had relationships to maintain. They had homes to clean. They had a lot of animals to take care of, big animals. And just like us, they had plenty to fill their time. Knowing all of this, Jesus is clear in Scripture that he matters more. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." If we want to seek the kingdom of God above all else, we got to make Jesus number one in our life. We got to make him important, right? That means we got to get rid of some things that we've made urgent. We have to free up some time. If you are too tired to read the Bible every day, not even saying get up at 5 or do it before bed, if you can't find any time to read the Bible during the day or you can't find a place to fit it in, then you need to say more no to screen time or to Facebook or to sports or to shopping, and you need to start seeking the kingdom of God and putting Jesus first. If you see Sunday as a day to recoup from all the busyness that happened during your week instead of going to church, you need to say more no's during your week and start seeking the kingdom of God and putting Jesus first. If serving or volunteering in the kingdom of God, you know, whether it's helping here at Northside or living it out someplace else, is not possible for you right now, you need to start saying more no's in your schedule and start seeking the kingdom of God and putting Jesus first. I've been in ministry a long time.
Over 20 years, right?
Biggest part of my job has always been finding volunteers. When I was a children's pastor, we had 300 spots we had to have filled year-round. And that did not count for VBS, which was over 600 volunteers. In my time of doing that and recruiting, it always was so interesting to me that when anything changed in the family, the very first thing to go was serving. I'm not giving you a guilt, Sonny. I'm just talking to you from experience, right? That soon as something changed in our life, the very first thing that we thought was the first thing we can cut off our schedules was serving the kingdom of God. I have this new job. It's stressful. I have to give up something. I think I'll give up the nursery rather than tennis twice a week, right? I just started taking care of my mom. Gotta quit being a tutor rather than quit that hour of Xbox each night. There's a situation that came up, and I have to quit serving once a month in the Sunday school rather than quit my weekly coffee with my girlfriends. There's too much stress right now. I have to quit attending Bible study rather than quit volunteering at my child's school. There are going to be times when you can't legitimately serve. I get that. But my question is, why is it always the first thing to drop from our schedules, right? Why is missing church so much easier than missing work? Why is it okay to go a day without talking to God than rather than missing a day without talking to your best friend? When money is tight, why is tithing the first to be neglected? Why? I just want to understand why. Because I find myself doing it sometimes too. When Scripture says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Do you think God wasn't aware of all else? He was. He's God. He knows everything. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I totally believe that. I totally believe he's going to give you everything you need. Jesus was so serious about it. It's not a feel-good thought. It's a direction. It's a life direction. Here's our life coach telling us what to do. This is a direction for us. It's the way to live. But how can we have time to do all those things, right? And I agree. We got to change our schedules. And this is the first way we need to do it. We need to take out our schedules, get out paper, and you need to write on it, this is what is important. This is what is important. You're going to have work on there. You've got to pay the bills. You're going to have school on there. You've got to go to school and study hard. You're going to have maybe visiting your mother on there. Our parents are getting old. We have to visit our mothers, our fathers. You're going to have a date night with your spouse on there, family dinners on there, church on there, small group on there, volunteering on there, prayer time on there, Bible time on there. What's on your calendar should be what is important to you. And we have control over our choices. And when we make time for what is important, I'm telling you, less urgent things are going to come up because we're doing what's important. You say, but even if I put these on my calendar, how can I keep to them? Create fake deadlines, okay? Technically, I don't have to have the sermon done till 9:59 a.m. on Sunday morning. I don't, right? You're not going to know any different if it's done or not. But I give myself a deadline now. I just started this a couple weeks ago, Thursday at 4 o'clock. Thursday at 4 p.m. Why? Because Friday's technically my day off. And Saturday I see my son play ball. And so I don't want to worry that I have to get the sermon done and be consumed with it and put all the other things that are important to me on hold because I haven't kept my deadline. So Thursday at 4, it needs to be done. Right? You can make fake deadlines with checking your email. There's no email police. They're going to come to your house and be like, oh, you checked it past your deadline. But you hold true to that and say, I'm not checking my email past 5. When I get home, it's dinner and I'm going to spend time with my family. Or I'm going to do my homework. And you put that phone to your side and you stick to that fake deadline. You're amazed how much opens up for you to do other things that are important. Put your phones away. Turn off the TV at a certain time. Make fake deadlines and commit to it. And all of a sudden you're like, well, I can't do any more today. You say, I'm going to start cleaning. Clean for 1 hour. We could be cleaning all day long. I get that. Say 1 hour. If it's not done, it's not done. Because I have time to go to my Bible study today. Or I have time to do this today. Because it's on my calendar and it's important to me. Writing it in your calendar makes it concrete for you to follow. And giving yourself fake deadlines means you can't pass it so that you do the things that are important to you. And then you also need this. You need to be selective in what you say yes to. Right? We get so distracted and we fill our calendars and every day, every hour is booked with something. It's good stuff, right? But filling your calendar is not going to yield a happy life. It's just not, right? Be selective in what you say yes to. Parents, it's okay to say no. The best parents, they do not do it all. They do what matters most. The best employees do not do it all. They do what matters most. The best students do not do it all. They do what matters most. The best pastors do not do it all. They do what matters most. The best spouses and friends, they do not do it all. They do what matters most. You want a productive life? Say more no's and say yes to the things that matter most. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. We have a choice. We have time for what we choose to have time for. We can make excuses, or we can make progress in this area, but we can't do both. So if we choose that which is more important, then we're not going to deal with so many urgent things. So Martha, she was distracted by urgent things, and Mary chose what was important. With Jesus' help, we can totally focus in on what's important. We can. So in closing, where are you? It's Step Up Sundays. Step Up Sunday, and we have hot dogs roasting in crock pots, all right? Where are you? Are you distracted? Has life become more about the urgent than the important? Would Jesus say about you, now there's a person who got it right, like Mary. Now there's a person who puts me first. Or would he say, now there's a person who is awfully distracted? What distracts you? What do you got to remove from your calendar? Too much screen time, too much recreation, too much socializing, too much laziness, too many hobbies, too much of what? And then, what things need to be added to your calendar? You need to sketch in stone church, your prayer time, family time, volunteering, date night, looking after your spouse, family time. What important things need to be added? Northside, truly believe this, us as a group, we've been called to help people find Jesus. We have. so that they meet Jesus and their lives are forever changed. That the choices that they make are putting Jesus in the very first place in their life. And that means we should be increasing in numbers here, and that means people outside these walls should be increasing in numbers of who trust Jesus, because of your lives are revealing that to them every day. We are getting up to a point in our church where it's difficult to grow because we have so many places that need to be filled of ministries we believe are going to reach people. And so when we talk about stepping up, not only do I want to see on your calendars a commitment to putting God in first place, whatever that looks like, you know what it is. You know what you've neglected. You know what you've been distracted by. But I'm also asking you to step up as a church and use your hands and feet to serve the body of Christ here at Northside. Without apology, I'm asking you to do that. Because without apology, we have commitments of one time a month, maybe once every 3 months, and we have every week if you want to go crazy. I don't care, right? But I'm asking us as a church to step up. Because what is important is that people know Jesus Christ. What is important is that when they are in a moment of crisis, they know that they can turn to a God who loves them with all their heart. To a God who surrounds them with sisters and mothers and sons and fathers in Christ who can come alongside them and hug them and take them to where they need to be. We believe in that. So I'm asking you this morning, don't leave this morning without God really clearly telling you, what are you distracted by? And without God clearly telling you what important things need to be added to your calendar. I truly believe with all my heart, if we start switching up what is important and we get that right like Mary did, a lot of other things in our life are just going to fall in place. And that urgency is not going to be there anymore. Every once in a while it might come, but it's not going to be there like we're living now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this story of setting us straight, refocusing us on what you desire for us, despite everything that was going on and everything that needed to be done. Mary had it straight. So, Father, I pray for our congregation this morning that they sit at your feet. I know that you've spoken to them, Lord, about what they've been distracted by. And I know that you've spoken to them of what they have neglected that is important with the relationship with you. And I know, Lord, that you have a place for them to serve in this body. So I pray, Father, only you know that. You're the wise God. I know nothing, Father, that you know regarding your people here, that you would speak to them and communicate to them so clearly about the next step for their choices, because they do have control over the things that they choose to do, God. And I pray that you would be the number one choice for their lives in all areas of their life. Thank you so much, Lord, for who you are and what you've done and the delicious hot dogs that we're going to have today. Thank you that you provide for all of our needs. It's in your name we pray. Amen.